Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. It's probably happened to you at some point. You have a coworker or a boss, or maybe it's someone that you manage, and the two of you just don't get along. Whatever the reason, the two of you clash. Maybe she wanted the job that you got. Or maybe it's your boss who presents one of your ideas at a meeting and acts like it's his. Or it could just be as simple as the person who sits next to you who's always grumpy and never says hello. You spend so much of your time at the office, yet getting the dynamic right with your coworkers can be so hard. And if you don't, it can be distracting from your actual work, not to mention really draining. So what can you do? Well, with me is Brian Utzi. He's a professor of leadership and organizational change at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management and a contributor to the Harvard Business Review. Hi, Brian.
Thank you, Charlie.
What is the first step when you're trying to fix a bad relationship at work?
I would say back up just a little bit and get the big picture. The big picture is that when most people try to correct a relationship, they try to present rational reasons why correcting the relationship will be to everybody's mutual benefit. And it turns out that that's a bad first step. The reason is this. If the relationship has gone south, no matter what you present to the other person, no matter how logical it may appear and how good your evidence is, it tends to get interpreted in a negative way. Every gift you give them is a Trojan horse in disguise. So what you really need to do is to understand the first step is you've got to deal with that emotional character of the person and their state of mind so that you could eventually get to the evidence that you want to present for why the relationship should really be working better and why it could help everybody else out.
What does that mean, get to the emotional center of what the relationship is? How do you do that, and what do you do once you figure that out?
The way to get to the emotional center is to realize that once a relationship goes bad, the way in which people's emotional orientation towards the other individual develops is also changing. And it basically means that people are put on guard and they feel threatened by the other person. So what you need to do is you need to remove, or in my way of thinking, redirect the negative emotions that the person has towards you to something else. And if you're able to redirect, then you're able to open up that person's mind enough that you could begin to give forth the rational reasons why you think the relationship should do better. And at that point, the person is likely to interpret them in the correct and clear way.
Can you give me an example of how you would redirect those emotions?
You know, redirection is something that people use all the time. They often don't realize it. And we use it a lot with children. In fact, it's one of the best ways to deal with a child who becomes emotionally upset and you're trying to reason with them. I'll give you a quick example. I remember when my son was 3 years old. We're coming home from the mall and he wanted like an extra ice cream cone. I was trying to reason with him. No, you don't need an ice cream cone. You could get one when we get home or it's going to ruin your dinner. And no matter how much I tried to reason with him, his emotional state didn't allow it. And then I said, oh, Jonas, look, outside the window, I think I just saw a red fire-breathing dragon go by the car. I could feel his breath on the glass. And he literally turns like a little robot and looks out the window. Where is it? And at that moment, I had redirected his negative emotions away from me. Now, parents do this all the time to open up a space to reason with their children. Adults work the same way.
So I can't turn to my boss and say, look, there's a fire-breathing dragon outside the window. What are ways to try and redirect negative emotion in the office?
What you're really trying to say when you redirect is to place in the person's mind another explanation for why they may feel the negative emotions they do towards you. And it usually means putting forth to them that there was some other entity, a third party, the organization itself, that essentially created the situation that the two of you are in, and that it wasn't created by some intentional behavior on your part. So it could be the reorganization put us at odds with one another because of the way in which the organization was unclear as how to divide resources. Or it could be, I didn't ask to have this job that you thought that you were going to be promoted into. It was a decision that was made above me. And if you wanted to be even a little more shrewd about it, in a situation like that, you might say, and it was done by someone above me and has actually made us both a victim of this change, so that people not only feel more open emotionally, but they begin to feel some commonality with you, which is going to be the beginning of a better relationship together.
So if that's the first step to try and shift some of that negative energy coming your way to mm-hmm. a different place, then how do you follow up with that?
At that point, then you've got to get to your rational arguments. But the research shows that the trick with the rational argument is this. You can't present it as, I will do this for you if you do that for me, which on the face of it sounds like, oh, we've got this wonderful bargain, you're getting something and I'm getting something. And it sounds very fair. Research shows that if you do that, which tends to be most people's first inclination, it doesn't lead to a relationship, it leads to a one-time transaction. The other person's willing to do that, and then you're right back to where you were before. Research shows the best way to do it is to use something known as the reciprocity principle, which says simply, you want to give before you ask, give before you ask. And that is, you want to be able to give the other person some things that entice them to wanting to rebuild the relationship with you, but you don't want to ask for things in return at the same time, because then they feel like they're just being forced again into a situation where you may attempt to take advantage of them.
It sounds like what you're talking about is trying to build trust with that person.
Absolutely, because basically that's the heart of what needs to be rebuilt to form the relationship anew.
If you have engaged in reciprocity, this idea of giving something to a coworker without expecting anything back, what is the hope that will come out of that? Where does that lead you to next?
Once people see that they're getting benefits without strings attached, the next step is to think about how in the relationship, the two of you are going to begin to divide those benefits between the two of you. And here is where you want to be clear about how those things will operate, so there won't be misunderstandings going forward and the old feelings of mistrust or being treated unfairly will come to a head again. Because if you don't, skepticism will just creep back into the relationship. The way to do that is to basically talk about each person's role in that relationship and what their expectations are from one another. So if a boss is going through this kind of process with one of his or her subordinates, he might present to the subordinate something along the lines of, here is an opportunity for being part of a team that's going to do something to move the organization forward, and I'd like to give you the right of first refusal on it, which communicates to the person that you believe they're of value, but you may still also have alternatives. So you're giving them something of value, and you're also letting them know that you're really the person who still is in the position to have control over the relationship. But within that control, you're being much clearer as to what you would expect from them and what their role will be.
This is all really good advice, but I find myself, and maybe it's just my own issue, sort of going back to thinking about relationships I've had at work, and I start rehashing in my head all the things that have happened, like what they said, what I said, how we reacted with each other. So how do you break that habit to move forward and kind of put the past behind you?
I think the best way to do that is, one, a very explicit statement like the one you just made, which is, you know, many things have happened in the past, but we should really look at this relationship going forward, given the new basis that we've created with one another. So being clear about a break from the past and the new future that we're looking at becomes important to say explicitly in the conversation that you have with the other person.
And is it important to give up the desire to be right when you get into a disagreement with a coworker?
In my mind, I believe it is, in the following sense. If you can get the relationship back on track and it becomes a productive, collaborative relationship for you and the other person, you are in fact getting something that you really want and need to be productive at work. Being right may be a secondary goal once you've been able to get through the first stage of making it productive again. And so you may not want to say, I want to let go of it and be right, but you may want to postpone working on that particular issue in the relationship until the first part of the relationship is working.
And what if you feel that your efforts are not really improving the relationship that you have with a coworker? What do you do? Do you go to other coworkers and try and get their help? Do you just give up and acknowledge that maybe this is just an unsalvageable relationship?
So that is actually a very excellent question, in the sense that, you know, we often think about solving a relationship one-on-one with the other person, but in fact, third parties play a very big role in having relationships come back together again. And what I've been talking about that you would do with the person you're having a rivalry with, you may also want to do some of those same steps with the people who are closest to your rival and be able to get them to see your point of view and the value in you and the other person collaborating. Because ultimately, they will also support and contribute to that other person correcting the relationship with you. So going to third parties is always a good idea, even from the very start.
But if the other person just really doesn't seem interested in fixing the relationship, maybe it's a boss and they just don't care. They want you to work a particular way and you two do not get along. Do sometimes you just have to cut your losses and move on?
I would say, you know, absolutely. There's two ways to correct a relationship. One is through exit, which can be, you know, very low cost and very quick if you've got a good alternative to go to. And then the other is what we've been talking about, which is basically voicing your opinion within the relationship to try to improve the relationship that you're in. I do believe that if you feel that this cannot be corrected through the methods that we've just been talking about, like the 3R framework, then exit is a good option. But you may not want to go through the trouble of looking for a new job and disrupting your life until you try the method of the 3Rs first.
You know, it can be really painful to not get along with somebody at work. I was mentioning it can be emotional or even physically draining. But can there actually be value of not getting along with a coworker? Could you learn from that?
So there are some people who have done research on this, and it basically goes along the lines of, if you're not getting along with someone at work, it could create some positive competition between the two of you, where each of you is trying to really achieve and be driven to achieve great things simply because you're trying to outdo the other person. Now, I think that that can have some very positive outcomes. And in fact, some managers drive their organizations to work like this. You know, sales groups are often driven at their essence to be rivalry and dislike among individuals, so that each person is not only trying to do their best, but really being driven by the goal of outdoing the other person. But of course, that's a very hard situation to sustain for a long period of time. And that's why people in sales often have a very high level of turnover. It's not just the stress of the job, but it's the stress of the interaction with their coworkers.
What you're saying makes sense in terms of how you can go about trying to fix a relationship with a coworker, but it sounds like a lot of work.
Well, you know, I have my students work through this framework with individuals throughout their career. Some of them who they have a problem with currently at work, people who they've had a problem with in the past. And typically, everything that we've talked about can be done within the single period of a lunch break.
That efficient?
Yes. And if you walk in with a plan and a strategy of, you know, one, how am I going to redirect this person? Two, what sorts of things can I offer them that's going to really entice them to come back to the relationship, but not be too costly to me? And then three, how would you like the relationship to work going forward? Can really be laid out very, very quickly. I would also say that these kinds of conversations, to make them more efficient and effective, should not take place in the workplace, because the workplace is only a constant reminder of all the things that may be driving you to have a negative relationship with one another.
And if you have that successful lunch off campus, as it were, I presume that's not the end of it, that it will be baby steps before you really get to a point that you can look back, say, a year later and say, wow, we really get along now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the way to make those baby steps really work in a supercharged fashion is that the person who's leading this, who really trying to make the relationship work well together, should pay a lot of attention to small milestones and quick wins and make sure that they're highlighted to the other person and somewhat celebrated whenever you can. Because that in itself highlights the value of the new relationship and also begins to change the culture between the two of you to being one that's looking at the positive sides of the relationship rather than the negative.
Well, Brian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Utzi is a professor at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management and the co-director of the Institute on Complex Systems. He's also a contributor to the Harvard Business Review. So whether your office feels like you're in an episode of Mary Tyler Moore or The Office, There are always ways to make it better, whether you've got a grumpy but lovable Lou Grant as your boss or a totally incompetent Michael Scott running the ship. Now, while these are sitcoms and they don't really reflect reality, they do have a grain of truth to them, and that is that our work is like a second home. It's like a second family. There will be conflicts. That's okay. You can work it out, hopefully. When you and your work spouse get into a fight, what do you do? Let us know. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. We'd love to hear from you. Or send us a note on Twitter. You can find us at moneytalking or send me a note at Charlie Herman. And don't forget, there's also iTunes where you can download this as a podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.